podcast.
Let's.
Okay. Dogs at bay.
Of War Games! Whoa. War Games! War Games!
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
2 another edition of the hashtag Miranda Show. This is your host, the Twitterless heroine herself, Miss Fancy Pants, ring announcer to the stars, the pop punk princess, the most professional podcaster, and of course, the queen of soft style herself, Miranda Morales, here hosting another episode of the hashtag Miranda Show, which is a proud part of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can find on thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You goddamn right it is. And of course, I am joined by my co-host. He is the unstoppable one, the kingpin of thechairshot.com, Greg DeMarco.
Acknowledge me.
Yes. It's so weird, like with the past few weeks of podcasting having been crazy or not existing, this is just like, I don't know, fuck it, let's just go. Like it's literally
yes,
been
yes, let's just
that
fucking
kind
go,
of,
bro.
That's exactly what it has been. You know, you guys are cooped up with your COVID and you know, not, and it's just been crazy otherwise. And so it's just like, yeah, we're, you know, just do it. And that's just the best way to go. You know, it's more entertaining anyway. Podcasting is about the people. I will always say that.
Yes. It is by the people, for the people, about the people.
By the people, it's just by us. For the people, yes.
Well, but we're people.
It's not even about the people. Yeah, I did say it's about the people.
I consider myself a person.
You should, rude. Probably. Yeah, I think you qualify. If anybody would know that you were a robot, it'd be me. So, yeah. No, you're a person. I don't even know where I was talking about. Just host the show, I guess.
Yeah. Let's just... I mean, this is the hashtag Miranda Show, really the most random podcast in the entire Chairshot Radio Network, which I'm still very proud of that self-proclaimed title that I, again, ergo self-proclaimed, I've made it up. Maybe who knows? Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. The only way you find out is by listening to all of the podcasts on the Chairshot Radio Network and making a determination for yourself. How about you do that?
I think you should. I mean, it's, you know, it'd make me happy.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, of course. I'm trying my best to just do my I'm laser focused here. I'm like, there's
you say that things. As you look to your left or right.
Because I'm trying to prove a point here.
You're failing miserably.
I'm failing. I know. Have you met me? Hi, I'm Miranda Morales. Big failure here.
I have failure. Met you a time or two, yeah.
Yes, failure is, I wouldn't say my middle name, but definitely one of the monikers I don't talk about as much.
you don't bring that
one
up as much.
One of my more secret monikers. But yes, okay, let's get focused here. Let's move the energy back in. We're back, a little bit of a hiatus, shit happened. As Greg alluded to, you know, COVID.
It has been 2 weeks since you've had a show. You're right.
Yes, yes. Well, last week it was your fault. The week before was my fault. And now we're here again.
Yes. Yes, that is true. Last week I went to soccer game. Definitely not upset with that decision. Great soccer game. This the week before, you missed for being sick. That was before you knew what you were sick with. And then, and the week before that, it was you and me and I think Patrick. I don't know.
No, I can't think. The week before, I was working. Yeah. Anyways, long story short, it happens. It's all good. I'm at home recovering. Cabin fever here. That's why I'm looking to the left, to the right. You may hear additional noises, voices, dogs. That's the way it goes, ladies and gentlemen. That's I pull no punches here. This is a wrestling household. You know, this this fucker here, we had a conversation earlier, had the audacity to say wrestling is fake. You use the F word in this house. Well,
no comment, I guess.
He mumbled that it said it wasn't the last time, wasn't the first, won't be the last time.
That's probably true.
The fake word in this household. Only fake when I lose. say that a little bit. You gotta say it one more.
It's only fake when I lose.
Yes. So there you go. That's a perspective there. So
that's true.
Yes. But we do, you know, I mentioned wrestling because we didn't talk about wrestling on the Greg DeMarco show earlier. We talked about football, which that was a very exciting week of playoff football. I've watched pretty much all the games. I didn't really watch the Titans-Bengals game. I came into that late, but the rest of the games pretty much saw most of. So it was a very – even though I was cooped up in my house, it was actually a great weekend to be at home to watch football. But because of that, we didn't get to talk about wrestling. This time now on this show right here, we're talking about wrestling. We're going to be talking about our predictions for the 2022 Royal Rumble. Our Rumbles winners.
Yes.
Winners of the Rumbles.
Rumbles I'm winners, never really yes. Good. Damn. Eight, seven.
Show, we didn't give you your IZW Impact Zone wrestling update. We are heading into Monster February 26th at the Scottsdale Studios in Scottsdale, Arizona. And the first show of the year for IZW, the trendsetter, the show that really sets the tone for 2022, Monster. And I really want to talk about an announcement that was made earlier this week, and that was from the new IZW commissioner, Derek Montilla, about a Monster first. And that is an opportunity for the first time ever for a tag team to enter the Monster Rumble together. Earlier in the week, Derek Montilla put out a message talking about really a prolific idea that he has had as commissioner regarding a unique opportunity for one tag team to enter Monster together and really creating an advantage for that tag team. And that will be determined through a four-way tag team match that will be happening earlier that night at Monster. The four teams competing in this four-way tag team match are the Tag Dudes, Mercury Yating and Curtis Cole, Cookies and Cream, Pete the Heat and Jay Garland, the team of Dallas King and MBW, and Los Suavecitos, Ricky G and Danny Rose. So this, I mean, again, first time in history having a tag team enter the Monster Rumble.
Is this the first time a tag team has ever wrestled a Rumble style, entered a Rumble style match as a tag team? Like, are we literally making worldwide history?
I'm going to ask the historian. Anytime tag team? No, we're getting the consensus here that this could be a first in the history of Rumbles.
I got to market that better, actually. I'm going to focus on that a little more then. So
that's good to work on that. I mean, got a whole catalog of Rumbles to go through. Does that count? Huh? All the other ones don't count. I was going to say, are we World War III? I was wondering if that, does that count World War III?
But they didn't enter, like that wasn't a Rumble. That was just a big battle royal. So.
Okay. So Rumble, we're going to be specific to Rumble history then.
Well, yeah, because Rumbles, you enter one by one. Has there ever been a time where two entered together? I don't know. Like legally, officially entered. There may have been times where someone came out and someone helped them, but has two people entered the same time as a tag team? I don't know. I think we're making history.
So would they be one entrant or are they going to be two separate entrants coming at the same time?
I would have to speak with our esteemed commissioner for clarification, mm-hmm. but from what I understand, that will count as one entry.
Ooh, interesting.
But from what I understand, they can't both win.
Oh,
that's there still can only be one winner.
Yes, that is true. Yes. And Greg, what does the winner of Monster receive?
Well, therein lies the rub, Miranda Morales, because the winner of Monster gets whatever the hell they want. We don't give it for a title shot. I mean, we had it for a title last year because of circumstances, but a match of their choosing, whatever match they want. From what I understand, they're going to get the craziest trophy in the history of pro wrestling. If Derek does what Derek has in mind, we'll see. But they can make whatever match they want and whatever situation, whether it's a title opportunity, whether it's a revenge opportunity, whether it's who knows what. I mean, they literally do hold all the cards when they win Monster. The caveat to all that is they got to tell you right away. They're probably going to have to tell you in the center of the ring, here's what I want. And that's, you know, been the thing in the past. So we'll find out on February 26th exactly what the winner intends to do with their victory.
Mm-hmm. As well, on February 26th, you will see a four-way tag match to determine the team that will enter Monster together. That's, again, just announced this week on IZW social media. Commissioner Derek Mantilla out here taking the ball and running with it in his real first full event as commissioner. So big congratulations to Derek Mantilla and the effort with this big announcement. And I'm sure a lot more news to happen and things to come in line for Monster on February 26th at the Sun Scottsdale Studios in Scottsdale, Arizona. VIP opens at 5 with bell time at 5:30. General admission doors open at 6:30 and bell time at 7. You can find tickets at IZWWrestling.com. And Greg, where else can they find information on IZW?
Well, on social media, the link is there on every single post, especially on Facebook where the link is the most prevalent. You can also follow us on any form of social media at IZW Wrestling AZ, and that is the famous tagline of link in bio. You can find the link in the bio on any of those forms of social media. It will take you to exactly where you need to be to get your tickets for Monster, and soon you might even be able to get some other tickets as well. But for right now, we'll just say you can get your tickets for Monster.
Well, you know, IZW is based out of Arizona. The upcoming show will be at the lovely Scottsdale Studios in Scottsdale, Arizona. And, you know, there are some ways, though, if you can't come to Arizona, if you aren't able to come to the show, there are some other ways that you can support IZW and thechairshot.com. In order for me to tell you about that, though, I'm going to need you, Greg, to do me a favor.
What might that be?
And that is to wind it the fuck up!
It's time!
It is time. Yes, it is time for you. Yes, you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to pick up your very own chair shot and IZW t-shirt today. Yes, if you want to be in style, if you want to look good, if you want to be comfortable, if you want to rep Impact Zone Wrestling and thechairshot.com, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There, you're going to find a variety of IZW and Chairshot t-shirts today, including both the Chairshot Linear and IZW Linear t-shirts. You got the IZFNW t-shirt, and of course, the old school logo, the new school logo, all of that. available at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And while you're there, you can also find various Chair Shot t-shirts, including multiple Always Use Your Head, the Chair Shot Worldwide shirt, the Baron Corbin Sucks t-shirt, and much, much more. Not to mention the Everybody Hates Greg t-shirt and the Queen of Soft Style. Yes, yours truly, own t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. All t-shirts start at $19.99, but with a few extra dollars, you can order any of them in soft style, and you can be comfortable and looking good while attending IZW or your favorite independent wrestling show, or listening to your favorite Chair Shot Radio podcast in the comfort of your own home. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
So we, again, talked about IZW happening in just a few weeks. That's one Rumble. But the big Rumble, the annual Rumble, the Rumble that we all know, we all love, we all watch, the Royal Rumble, will be happening this Sunday. Is it? Yes.
Yes, yes, it is this Sunday. Otherwise, yes, why would we talk
Sunday.
About it?
I was just like, sorry, time has escaped me. And so we are going to be talking about our predictions for the Royal Rumble. I'm not going to go through the whole show card because really what I'm interested in watching, what I want to know, I'm sure what you all want to know, our predictions. Who do you think will be winning the 2022 Men and Women's Royal Rumble?
I think there's some value in the title matches as well, but I have a feeling that will come up.
Yes, yes, yes. That will, and I'm sure in our predictions when we talk about those will kind of by proxy. But I really just want to get to the Royal Rumble, meat and potatoes, really getting into the predictions this year, because I think, of course, where there's already been lots of storylines internally, but also the news around who may show up. We've already gotten the big surprise in the women's side with Mickie James being announced, as she is the current Impact Knockouts champion. Lots of rumors and speculation about who else may show up. And even just the thought of, well, WWE has really leaned out their roster. So who do they have available for this? What does this mean for NXT? So many thoughts to think about and topics around this to speculate over. But let's start on the women's side, because I know, Greg, you had mentioned, you had teased, you have a bold prediction here, and I kind of already started on this. WWE also did something kind of unique with the Women's Royal Rumble match or the match itself, but the announcement of the participants ahead of time. Some of the bigger names that we would have been surprised the day of or the moment of, they released and shared already. Names like the Bella Twins, Summer Rae, Mickie James, Lita, and her already starting kind of a comeback program already. Real quick, what were your thoughts on them announcing all of these names prior to the Royal Rumble?
I mean, they got a stadium to fill, and I know people hate when, and they've been announcing participants in the Rumble for ages. It is what it is, but you wanted to get buzz. You wanted to get all of that. The world of professional wrestling has been a buzz about a lot of things. And not all of them WWE, especially right around that time of year. Plus, they were coming out of the holiday season. You've got the NFL. So many different reasons why they needed to create the buzz that they needed to create. And kudos to the women for being in that position to be the buzz that they created. I do think they created some of that accidental buzz around Mickie James. Unfortunately, my bold prediction that, she would defend the Knockouts Championship on Raw before the Rumble did not happen. So I'm wrong, but whatever. Since that show has already passed. But I do believe that they just wanted to get people buzzing and people talking. And you know, while to many of the hardcore fans, some of those names are not a big deal, to the WWE's target audience, they are. And that, I think, led to a lot of people talking about the Royal Rumble and all positive. And as we've said before on this and other shows, Impact Wrestling got more benefit from one announcement than they did an entire Kenny Omega title run. So yes, kudos to all parties involved. And I'm great. I have zero complaints about them making all those announcements in advance. It's a business.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand. And I'm sure there still will be guests, like those surprises too. I mean, they still have a whole 30 yeah. woman rumble to fill. So having some of those names announced ahead of time still gives this sense of spontaneity, that still gives you the sense of unpredictability, but also that it's something different too. You can yeah. tell that this year's rumble has a different tone to it. And again, the buzz, especially around Mickie James's appearance at the rumble, has done a lot to catapult the interest in the women's Royal Rumble. So I think a lot of this, to WWE's credit, is well-timed and well-planted information. You get just enough to have a tease, but there's still, you know, more participants that we don't know who those participants are going to be. Yeah. And that, you know, I don't think it's ironic, but it is hilarious to know that WWE did more for Impact Wrestling in one announcement that AEW did in 6 months.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're obviously setting up something with Lita and Charlotte. That's probably going to be a WrestleMania match. And I ain't mad at it. Charlotte already beat Trish Stratus. She's going to beat Lita. Like, it just, that's a WWE thing to do. Mm-hmm. So you make the announcement, then you have the Lita appearance. It just all tells, you know, the stories mm-hmm. itself. So there will be some surprises. And here's the thing, like, maybe if you don't have a huge surprise and you have some mid-level surprises, maybe it makes sense to announce them ahead of time. Because otherwise, if people feel like they already know the surprise, they're not waiting for the surprise. If they're waiting for the surprise and then the surprise doesn't really come, then they're pissed. And so it's really a balancing act. And the WWE, as much as people on Twitter will tell you otherwise, they know their fans. They know the fan base, at least the ones they're targeting. And I think they played this one very, very well. They've announced zero surprises on the men's side except for Johnny Knoxville, and that's a promotional thing. So we'll see some surprises both ways, but I don't know that we're going to get any monumental surprises. Plus, one of the biggest critiques of the Women's Royal Rumble match over the past several years has been the over-involvement of women from NXT. And just because they needed to fill those spots, and it's apparent this year they didn't really want to do that. So I think they went a good direction.
I think that's also an indicator, too, of NXT, really the way that NXT has changed and really it being viewed as a developmental. I think the next time yeah. we do see a call up for NXT or something, you know, it will be a very big deal. But the NXT 2.0 is not structured in a way that we're going to see people move more fluidly or have those appearances. I think if we are going to see it, it may be on the women's side. We may see one or two NXT names on the women's side, but it could be people who are on that kind of threshold of old NXT, new NXT, like an EO, like a Raquel, maybe, you know, Dakota, like someone who's on that threshold who is kind of coming on that other side of 2.0, but also one that's been well established, where I feel like for NXT on the men's side, a lot of that's already been happening of men either moving on to the, you know, a brand or completely leaving the company. So I do feel like if there are going to be some surprises from NXT, I'm thinking it's going to happen more on the women's side than the men's side.
I don't know. I mean, you've got the four names in NXT right now on the men's side, Tommaso Ciampa, Pete Dunne, Roderick Strong, and LA Knight. Like, they have programs, yes, that they're wrapping up and you know, both Ciampa and Pete Dunne being involved today. They're going to be at SmackDown on Friday. I think you could see them make appearances, and eventually they just can't do the NXT thing anymore. I just think it's going to be a sprinkle either way. I don't think it's going to be a lot. I really don't. I do think Raquel Gonzalez might begin her main roster journey at the Royal Rumble, much like Rhea Ripley did a few years ago. She'll still wrap things up with the Women's Dusty Classic, but I do think her Rumble appearance will start her main roster career. But yeah, besides that, I don't think we're going to see a ton of NXT involvement just because of the direction they're trying to take that, like you were saying. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So now, Greg, I've been waited in anticipation and bated breath. You have said you have a bold prediction for the Women's Royal Rumble. So go ahead, hit us with your bold prediction.
I do think she comes back at this Royal Rumble. I also think she wins it. I really do.
Going for the jugular.
It's marketing. It's business. It's what WWE does. If you're going to bring back Ronda Rousey, you bring her back in the Royal Rumble. Short of Becky Lynch interfering and tossing her out and causing her to get tossed so you can set up that match for WrestleMania, because that's the direction you got to go.
Yeah, that's the only.
But you just have her win it, and you can go that direction. So,
yes, exactly.
And the Royal Rumble is not about creating new stars as much as people want to think it is. It's about setting up matches for WrestleMania, and you've got to, again, they got a stadium to fill, and one night of WrestleMania will be headlined by the women, and WWE has shown they believe in Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch to headline. They also believed in Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair last year, but that wasn't a stadium they had to fill because it was at like 25% capacity or whatever. This time they're looking for between 80 and 100,000. So yeah, I do think this is where we're going to see Ronda Rousey make her return and, you know, money talks. And I do think she wins the Rumble and, you know, probably comes in at number 30. You know, we get that nice surprise at number 30 that people love so much. And then we're off to the races. So that's my bold prediction. I think Ronda Rousey enters the Women's Rumble at number 30 and wins it. And then we set up Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch for WrestleMania.
I mean, it's not that far-fetched to think about Ronda Rousey coming back. I mean, there's already been, of course, you know, this is the time of year speculation.
Everybody gets speculated on coming back.
Everybody, yeah. You know, all of that. But it also, you know, makes sense if, like you said, money talks, the feud and program between her and Becky still fuming, a whole other chapter. They're both in different chapters of their lives and their careers where
somewhat the same though, if you think about it, really.
Well, I was going to say, they're not the same women individually, but they're all, and there's a lot of overtures and a lot of parallels between their lives. But I think that the Ronda and Becky that we see now is not the same one that we've seen, you know, a few years ago, which I think makes it a lot more interesting. Especially Becky Lynch, she's big time Bex now. And so if anything, Ronda was more of the big timer herself in that feud. I think the roles reverse, and I think easily Ronda could be viewed as, you know, the baby face in this. And because Becky's career has really soared and grown since they last were in the ring together, and one-on-one, really, I mean, that's too what people are wanting to see. They want the one-on-one matchup. So it does. That makes a lot of sense to have them finally have this feud at WrestleMania at this point in their lives, at this point of their careers. And also with, you know, knowing that both of them could really headline, you know, night one.
Yeah. Cause we all know who's going to headline night two. It just makes perfect sense. So that's my prediction as much as, and I honestly think their second choice is probably Lita, to be honest with you. After Edge winning the Rumble last year and you know, Batista winning it a few years ago, they're not beyond having Lita win this Rumble match to set up her match with Charlotte. But they've already started that ball rolling. I think they're going with Ronda. What about you, though? Who do you think's going to win?
I mean, I'm throwing more of the out there respond or the out there contender, someone that we haven't seen in quite a while. But I think this person could easily be planted in either title picture.
I hope. I really hope it's who I think you're going to say.
Oh, you know it's who you think it is. You know who it is. And that's Bayley. Bayley making her comeback to the Rumble or at the Rumble. I think, again, fans have missed her long enough where the response is going to be big. I know she's coming back as a heel, Bayley, but just at a
initial... See, it's funny you say that because I'm sitting here about to do this.
Ah, no.
You don't think so? All right.
Can't go back?
You can't? No. Why not?
The audience here, the crowd, saying that you can't go back.
You can always go back. You can always go back. For now. It's wrestling.
I don't know if he has the hair for Old Bailey.
Yeah, it's true. It's not even as good. The music's not even as good.
Of course the music's not good. Bailey's old soul.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I just, you're right though. Like, it, yeah, the hair, it'd be a sharp turn. It would be a sharp turn.
Yes, yes. Of course Bailey's old music was the best music. Everybody knows this. Get out of my house telling me things I already know. Audience interaction here.
I like that though. I like the Bailey pick. I really do. Because win or lose, I do think she returns at this Rumble. Again, I think the surprises in the Rumble, especially the women's, are more of just returns. You know, I'm kind of surprised they did all the Alexa Bliss stuff they've done leading up to the Rumble, because it would have made sense for her to return the Rumble and then start doing the psychologist stuff. But I do think we could see that return as well. Interesting. I don't know if I believe the reports, but I did see the reports that they offered the Iconics an opportunity as well to come back. My gut instinct is that it was after the Mickey thing. They went back to Impact. They were like, you know, we could take the Iconics too. But yeah, who knows? Whether they're turning it down, this or that, who knows? I think it's too soon to do that. I think you wait on that. I do think it happens at some point. But it's not that, you know, Mickey was also released around the same time, but Mickey's been around so much longer. I mean, her first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 22. So yeah, it's definitely, there's plenty of time for that. Plenty of time for that. But I think I do think the surprises in this Rumble are more in the returns. Especially if Sasha Banks is really out with an injury, she can't be there. That's gonna have to be set up a different way for whatever she does. I like the pick. I really do.
Yeah. And you know, even looking at some of the other names in this, you mentioned Alexa Bliss, who maybe a few years ago we would have said would have easily been a top contender in this, because she's already had so many accolades. You know, the Liv Morgan bandwagon, as I like to call it, I still struggle with it. Not that I don't like Liv Morgan as a person, but I've struggled with getting behind her as this underdog babyface. And trust me, I am the biggest fan of underdogs and babyfaces. I always love to rally behind someone. It's been very hard to see Liv Morgan in that role for one reason or another. And I can't necessarily pinpoint it. So I'm not going to come here and say a bunch of things about her that, you know, I'm nitpicking, because to me, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with her. I just don't feel as gravitated towards her as I, you know, say back in a true Bailey babyface way, or even in Becky, when she was, you know, that not never really an underdog, but someone that people really rooted for. And others kind of in that role. It just has never quite clicked for me and Liv Morgan. So I could see how, as you talked about with the Royal Rumble, in some ways, you know, one it's almost back and forth. In some years, it's great for establishing a new star. In other years, it's great for affirming who is the top person. Last year, I think it really served a great purpose with Bianca Belair, and really one of the first times it did, because I think with Asuka, it really only set her up so that she could lose to Charlotte. With Becky, it was more of a storyline purpose. I feel like Bianca Belair was the first winner of the Women's Royal Rumble for that stage of setting up superstardom. And I think, you know, for the continuance of it, it will kind of flip flop years here and there. I think this year will be less about establishing someone new, and it will be more about reaffirming, you know, somebody that the company wants to have focus on.
We've seen it before too, where somebody's on this trajectory for WrestleMania, but then part-timers and returning stars come in and kind of interrupt that. And then by the time we hit, say, SummerSlam, that person who was on that trajectory is back on it and winning a title. So, I do think it's going to be a bump in the road for Liv Morgan. And we'll see where she finds herself and whether she's involved in some kind of multi-woman match with them at WrestleMania. If she's stuck in the, you know, Andre the Royal Giant Memorial Battle Rumble at WrestleMania. Who knows? But and if so, she would probably win it because I do think they're behind her. I just think that it's WrestleMania season. And if you can bring back a Ronda Rousey, you're going to bring back a Ronda Rousey.
Sit and before, it's just not quite... I just don't think it's just all quite there yet.
You know, I think it still is. I really do. Like, I know I'm in the minority amongst the, you know, non-hardcore fan base like we are. I think she's there. I think it's, I don't know. And maybe I'm biased. I have no idea. But I do think she's there. I do think she's ready. I just think that, you know, save for the big moments in the Rumble with the Bayley return, with a Ronda Rousey return, I probably would pick a Liv Morgan. But I just... And even wrote an article about it previously on thechairshot.com. But I think there's just, they're going to use it for something bigger. And which is good because they haven't done, the biggest moment in Women's Royal Rumble history was Ronda Rousey coming out after the first one. And this could actually be this only the, you know, the second time it actually main events again. The Women's Royal Rumble could main event the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, especially if they're using it to bring back Ronda Rousey. So you know, love Liv Morgan. I think she's got a tremendous future. I just think they're going to, you know, pump the brakes, and they're going to pump the brakes for reasons other than Liv Morgan herself.
Well, after this commercial break, we're going to be talking about the Men's Royal Rumble and our predictions. But Greg, go ahead and let's pay some bills.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
I forgot to ask my audience at the end of last segment who their pick is for the Women's Royal Rumble. So my live studio audience, who do you pick to win the Women's Royal Rumble?
I'm going to say, who are the champions?
Who are the champions?
Well, one of the champions, Charlotte Flair, is in the Royal Rumble match, and the other one is Becky Lynch.
Did Becky mention it?
Yeah. No. Becky Lynch isn't in it. She's the champion. But Charlotte is in it, and she's the champion. Look,
it's women's wrestling. I get it.
The logical business. I'm going to say Bianca Belair is back on the team.
Okay. That's fair.
There you go.
That's
studio fair. Audience with it. I was about to call it a very uninformed choice, but watch her fucking win, and then I'd be wrong, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, there's some good odds in her favor, you know. So
she's a big star. I mean, it created a big star last year, like you were talking about. It did what everybody wants. Everybody always wants the Rumble and Money in the Bank to create another big star. Like, that's what they always wanted to do when it's really a storytelling device.
But I would last not year, be mad if we got a Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair match.
No,
that's how, you know.
If not for Lita on the SmackDown side, or returning Sasha Banks, who the hell would Charlotte Flair even wrestle at WrestleMania or Bayley? So, yeah, I mean, she's right up there.
Yeah. All right. Next, we have the Men's World Rumble match. And speaking of champions, that could be what throws a wrench in all of this. Because we do have both champions defending their titles at the Royal Rumble. Roman Reigns will be facing Seth Rollins, and Brock Lesnar will be facing Bobby Lashley. But Greg, you had an interesting take, which I think is a popular take, regarding at least Brock Lesnar's match against Bobby Lashley and how that may impact the Rumble.
I think, well, you got to go back to day one, right? Because the obvious plan was for Paul Heyman, the whole Paul Heyman thing, to be a ruse. And he turns on Brock, and that's how we get to, you know, Brock, you know, loses the day one, enters the Rumble, wins the Rumble, and gets his shot at Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Although there was talk that we would get Brock and Roman again at the Royal Rumble. Who knows? But obviously COVID happened. Roman Reigns couldn't compete at day one, and they did what they had to do by putting the world champion, the WWE championship, on Brock Lesnar, because when you have a replacement like that, you've got to run something big enough to make up for it. And that's what they had to do. So now we get this weird dream match, Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar, which who knows when that was going to happen. And we get a great match in Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, which everybody wanted to see. we're still getting back to the original plan, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. We're just taking a different route, right? One of the things that I used to preach all the time, especially at one of my old jobs, was you know, challenging your brain, you know, drive a different way home, but you still got home. And that's, they're still going to get home. They're just taking a different way. We're still going to get to Roman and Brock at WrestleMania. I do think Paul Heyman / the Bloodline causes Brock Lesnar to lose his match at the Royal Rumble and lose the WWE Championship to Bobby Lashley. Could that then catapult Brock Lesnar into the Royal Rumble match? It could. We have Elimination Chamber coming up in late February, early March. Can't remember the date. I could see Brock going on a tear through the Elimination Chamber and winning that. Maybe even tearing his way into the match after it started, just like he did Money in the Bank a couple years ago. Because we oftentimes forget, like, the Royal Rumble isn't the end. Like, we have Elimination Chamber to get through, so we've got a book through there as well. So I do think Brock Lesnar loses his title at the Rumble. I don't think he's actually going to be in or win the Rumble.
I mean, that really throws a swerve in all of this is, you know, because at this point, it leaves pretty a wide range because the four top guys are all going to be in championship matches, which again, historically, they don't get into the Rumble. But thinking about card placement and what match happens first, and of course, the Rumbles tend to main event the show, you know. It's not far-fetched to look at and think of, you know, Brock Lesnar losing the world championship and going on a tear in the Rumble to reclaim his spot right back up there. And I think it would cause some excitement as well. And whether he decides to challenge Bobby Lashley again or go back to where we had all kind of suspected with Roman Reigns and still get to that main show or that main way, you know, is still a very interesting storyline. And I think, too, the fans are behind Brock right now. And so I think in years past, if he would have come in and gone through, you know, the roster and won, a lot of people would have been upset about it. But I think with the way the storyline's rolling, people becoming fans of Brock Lesnar again, him winning the Royal Rumble and facing Roman and kind of finding a way to outsmart Roman in the Bloodline by that logic, fans would gravitate towards. I think it would actually be kind of a fun storyline. And also when you think about where they are with their superstars too, as we talked about the Women's Royal Rumble, they do have stars in the making, but I feel like there's on two different planes. You have those who are there and have made it and those in that, you know, mid card who are not there yet. And you don't really quite have anyone who's in that in between who I think would super benefit or would need that bump as the Royal Rumble winner. You know, even a person like Big E who lost the world championship and has already had, you know, a great end of year as WWE champion, doesn't need a Rumble win to still be in the title contendership. I feel like what he was able to do with Money in the Bank put him in that conversation more naturally now, whereas before it was more the only way he could get to that title was Money in the Bank. Now I feel like he can more organically be in that conversation consistently and not need a Royal Rumble win.
I do agree with you. I'm not going to go into great detail though, because we have picks to give.
Yes. Yes. Well, and again, those are just my thoughts, but let's get to it then, Greg. Who do you predict to win the 2022 Men's Royal Rumble?
Oh, and that's why I did what I did, because I'm going chalk. I think Big E's going to win the 2022 Men's Royal Rumble
match. That's a surprise. I'm not going to lie. I did not expect you to pick Big E.
I wrote an article a few months ago for the Chair Shot, and I actually had Big E wrestling against Goldberg at WrestleMania, because I know it's a big dream match of his. I know Goldberg's got one more match left on his deal, this, that, and the other. But with Rollins in the match with Roman Reigns, I don't see him then entering the Rumble and winning there. And I just, as you kind of see where everything shakes out, I expect Bobby Lashley to enter, you know, WrestleMania as champion. And the only two potential opponents that I really see for him, in terms of if I know what Brock's going to wrestle Roman, then a man's going to win on the Raw side, and it can't be Rollins because of the match that he's in. The only two that I could potentially see are Big E or AJ Styles. And AJ could possibly be the winner, and we do get Big E versus Goldberg, and AJ would be kind of my second pick if we were ranking. But yeah, I'm going chalk with it. I'm going Big E wins the Men's Royal Rumble match because, yes, Money in the Bank did elevate Big E to the point where he could be champion, but look at when Shawn Michaels, you know, he won Royal Rumble matches and he put himself in position to be champion when he finally became that. And it just makes sense to me, you know, when Sheamus won the Royal Rumble match, he had already been a world champion. So yeah, I think there's possibilities. And I think that it's just another accolade, another feather in the cap for Big E and just a way to get to that match at WrestleMania. So yeah, and that's kind of why I didn't go into detail about Big E and that status of the Royal Rumble when you were talking about it, because he's my pick almost by default. But yeah, he's my pick. Process of elimination, right? Has to be on the Raw side. I think Lashley and Big E is the way to go if Rollins is already in that match, unless Rollins somehow enters and wins another Royal Rumble, or AJ. And maybe I should be picking AJ just to be different. But yeah, my gut instinct is Big E.
See, that's the thing. When I was thinking about this, I was looking at the names, and the name that honestly kind of popped out to me outside too of Big E, and even though I went into that whole argument, not to say that he shouldn't win, but I felt like you said, almost default. You know, I feel like there's people, he wouldn't need to win it. It would be great if he did. But AJ Styles was the other name in looking at this, because again, I feel like there's such a big chasm between established stars and then everybody else. And AJ Styles is more of that established star, but someone who has not won a Rumble, when also a lot of things, just kind of the internet's kind of telling, you know, the video circulating of him when his first Rumble appearance, you know, is coming around. Yes. And sometimes that too is a telltale sign of things to expect.
And he's doing some favor, and he didn't put over Grayson Waller, right? He still beat Grayson Waller in NXT. Well, if they didn't have any plans for AJ right now, they probably would have let Grayson Waller beat him. But they didn't let Grayson Waller beat him. So obviously they do have a plan. And what you're saying is right about, they have been recirculating the AJ debut from 2016. What's interesting about that, and you talk about the chasm that exists between the top stars and the ones they're developing, we talked about that with the releases and why they could release so many people, because they have such a large lot of established stars they know that can draw, they know they can depend on. And AJ, while he's been a multi-time world champion and he's defended a belt at WrestleMania, he's never been on the chase at WrestleMania. And short of the Karen haircut, like, there's no reason why people would not fully get behind AJ Styles on a WrestleMania run. And I'm sure we got AJ and Bobby Lashley at some point in TNA, but it's still in a WWE ring on a WWE stage. Oh, it's very different. Fresh, and I think it's different, and I do think people would get solidly behind it. And I think it would be a great match. I mean, AJ has you know, what, he's had like one bad match in WWE since he entered the company. Like, he's just a fantastic in-ring performer, and it's just another thing. Did we ever think we would see AJ Styles win a Royal Rumble? No. And here we are, you know, and man, the 2019 Royal Rumble that you and I were both at, he was defending a championship at that. So yeah, it to me, I have no problems seeing AJ. Actually, I think he was challenging for a title at that Rumble. I don't know, whatever. I have no problems with AJ Styles being the winner as well. I could totally see that happening.
Yes. Live studio audience, Rumble, men's Rumble pick.
Lesnar loses to Lashley with interference, comes back, and wins the Rumble.
Okay, there we go. So a little bit of Greg, your...
Yeah, I don't hate it, because we're in a world where Brock Lesnar can be the chasing babyface. And I love it. I really do.
Yes.
Brock is, it happens on Twitter almost every day, right? Someone today was like, who's the biggest draw in wrestling? Or maybe yesterday. And I remember my response being like, A, this is an irresponsible question, because you, and people are replying with Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley. And I'm just like, you're stupid.
And live studio audience is not about that.
And even as somebody who will acknowledge Roman Reigns as the tribal chief, it's Brock Lesnar. He's the biggest draw in all of pro wrestling. Like, it's just insane. Like, you can't to say any other name just proves you've no idea what the hell you're talking about if you don't say Brock Lesnar. Like, he's just there's no one else on the WWE roster, save for maybe Roman Reigns, that if they picked up the phone and called Dana White and said, I'll come to the UFC tomorrow, Dana would jump at the opportunity. It's Brock Lesnar. If he wanted to go back and try the NFL again, they'd go for it. Why? Because it's Brock Lesnar. If he wanted to enter fucking, I don't know, the Women's French Open, they'd let him because it's Brock Lesnar. Like, he's a draw no matter what he does, no matter where he goes. And he can do anything. Boombox Brock got over. Sombrero Brock got over.
Cowboy Brock hat is getting over.
Cowboy Brock. They're selling Brock Lesnar flannels.
Farmer Brock.
Yes, they're selling Brock Lesnar flannels on the WWE shop. Like, he is, and he, everything that you touch with the hand of Brock Lesnar turns to gold. So Brock is money. Brock, regardless of winning the Rumble or not, Brock is main eventing WrestleMania.
Yes. Yeah.
You get 3 months of Brock chasing Roman for about money.
Money. Well, and they've been, and you know, Brock chasing Roman in general, you know, even just everything that they've set up so far before day one.
Everything they've done is good. So why not continue?
There you go. Live studio audience.
Right, I still remember at the 2019 Royal Rumble match with Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor, like, as soon as Brock's music hits, Everything changes. We didn't sit down during Brock Lesnar's match, you know, where I was. Like, you just didn't. Like, it, and it was about a good 8 or 9 minute match. And it, you just didn't sit down because – and the way they've booked Brock, which people complain about, right? Sometimes they say his matches are too short. You can't take your eyes off of it because you don't know when it's going to end. Like, that's the great thing. It's the most legitimate thing you can watch in pro wrestling is a Brock Lesnar match.
And that's why he makes the most money.
And he should. He absolutely should. He should be the highest paid because it's a business, and he is the most business part of the business there is.
Business.
I can't wait for him to thank all the guys in the Royal Rumble for the match after.
My only hope is that if Brock Lesnar truly is going to win the Royal Rumble, he just shows up at like number two and actually tosses everybody out.
Just everyone.
I don't see something at all.
Because as Bruce Pritchard has said many a times, if it were real, he'd never lose anyway. So just let him do it. Just let him do it. Get it out of your system. Just let Brock toss everybody. Because I'll go back and watch the Royal Rumble where Brock tossed out the first half of the field, and I'll just watch till Brock gets eliminated. Because that's just entertaining shit. Like, it really is.
It did feel like like there was before Brock and after Brock in that Rumble. Like, you know?
Well,
like,
there was no before Brock because he started number one. But yeah, like it was two acts to it for sure. There's really three acts to that Royal Rumble. And there usually is. As someone who has to book a Royal Rumble match, there really is like that structure that you put to it. Not to give anything away for what's coming up, but it really is. And that story, like, I love that Royal Rumble. I think it's crazy entertaining, you know. And then later you have, you know, the Edge debut. Like, it just really was a fantastic Royal Rumble match. And a big part of that was the Brock Lesnar story. Because at some point they had you believing he would actually toss everybody. And that's the best story that you can tell. And then, of course, he doesn't.
Well, I'm sure we'll be watching the Royal Rumble in this household. I hope all of you listening are going to watch the Royal Rumble this weekend. And, well, we were going to be talking about the results of the show on next week's hashtag Miranda Show. So make sure you stay tuned. Thank you all for listening to this week's episode. I forgot to do all of the social media plugs earlier. So do not forget to follow us on social media. Me, Miranda Morales. You can find me at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook, hashtag spelled out. And no, I'm not on Twitter. So don't ask me. Don't check for me. Don't look for me because I'm not there. I'm not even lurking like some weirdos around here do.
You do on occasion.
Sometimes. But now I have people who lurk for me. That's how true. You move up in this business. I don't. I don't lurk on Twitter. Not people who lurk on Twitter for me. Go ahead and follow Greg DeMarco at Chairshot Greg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And of course, follow thechairshot.com at Chairshot Media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Of course, the hashtag Miranda Show is a proud part of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can find on thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
As well as your favorite podcast streaming platform.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You son of a bitch.
I don't know if I've ever done it at the end of the show.
You've never done it at the end of the show. I thought I fucking got away with it. I thought I got away with it. But I didn't.
But you didn't, though.
Yes, you can also listen to the show and others from the Chairshot Radio Network on your favorite podcast streaming platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and more. So you could take us wherever you go. And of course, don't forget, IZW Impact Zone Wrestling presents Monster Saturday, February 26th at the Scottsdale Studios in Scottsdale, Arizona. Information on tickets, match announcements, talent announcements, and more can be found at IZWWrestling.com. And of course, Greg, where can they find it on social media?
At IZW Wrestling AZ. Link in bio, links all over the place. Get your tickets, especially your VIP, before they're gone.
So, again, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We will be back with you, so stay tuned. This is Miranda Morales, and on behalf of me, well, and Greg DeMarco and our live studio audience, thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to always keep it soft style. You didn't even do that as a whole thing. That's a whole show. You just doing that as a thing. I love that there's fucking money.
War Games! Of War Games! War Games! War Games!
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.